Let me recognize first my co-authors, Dr. Ishu Sui and Rick Beiler, are with the ARS Cotton Ginning Lab at Stoneville, and Ed Barnes at Cotton Incorporated. And I'll do the acknowledgments up front on this one. Cotton Incorporated has funded this project, and actually the project was broader than this, but this is a portion of the project. I want to thank Gene Wynn for providing the lubricant, and also the staff at the Stoneville Gin Lab for working with us pretty rigorously for a couple of days to do this test. I don't think I'm going to tell you anything here in this background that you don't already know, but I'll run through it very briefly. U.S., we machine harvest, so we've got a lot more trash than hand-picked cotton, which is common in places like India and China. Therefore, our lint in the U.S. must be clean to be marketable. Unfortunately, our lint cleaners cause fiber damage, namely short fiber and NEPS. And as if you've seen some of the presentations on lint cleaning today, you've seen that even though saw, cylinder, grid bar lint cleaners were developed in the 40s, that's still the principal technology that we use. There have been some modifications of those, some feeding mechanism changes, speed changes, and so forth, but that's basically what we use. And there's been some tweaking here and there to change fiber properties, but there's been a need seen to do some innovation here, possibly come up with some new techniques or technologies. And in that vein, we, on this project, over the last 3 or 4 years, have done a couple of things, have gone a couple of directions. And one of those is looking at characterizing the attachment of foreign matter particles to fiber, such that we can say, well, what's really required to move foreign matter particles from fiber? The second is looking at the physics of what's occurring in current lint cleaners. And in doing some of that work, theoretical work, we found that friction was a pretty important factor, friction between the fiber and the machine surfaces. And that led us to this particular aspect of the project, and the objective here was to determine whether reducing friction affects lint cleaner fiber damage. Let me mention a couple of other names here. I probably should have had these in the acknowledgments, but Ed Hughes and Eric Heke both said to me when I was talking about doing the study the way that we're doing it that over the long run, you really don't want to be putting a lubricant on fiber. The textile mills aren't going to like that. And I don't disagree with that. Basically, we're looking at using lubricant in this test as a way to reduce friction. If we show that reducing friction has some benefit, then maybe down the road there are some other ways to achieve that. So really what we're trying to do now with the lubricant is just reduce friction, see what effect that friction reduction has on NEPS and short fiber content across a lint cleaner. So we did this study at the MicroGen at the ARS Ginning Lab in Stoneville. The configuration that we used was dryer, cylinder, cleaner, stick machine, dryer, cylinder, cleaner, extractor, feeder, gin stand, and lint cleaner. Only one lint cleaner. We used various lubricant water concentrations sprayed onto the lint cotton prior to lint cleaning. So we had some spray nozzles installed just after the gin stand, such that they would spray, and then we tested the fiber on, or sampled the fiber on both sides of the lint cleaner. The lubricant we used is called Hyvol. It started out as a textile lubricant. There are a few gins that in the cotton belt that use this. And again, we collected fiber data before and after the lint cleaner. We were looking at aphis and HVI, primarily aphis, but we were also collecting data on moisture content and ginning rate. We did two tests. First test was this year in June. We ran 9 treatments, 2 controls. One was just running straight gin, no additive at all. The second was running a water at basically the same rate. We're applying the mix at the same rate in all of these treatments. The only thing that we're varying is the amount of lubricant. So for the water, the lubricant level was 0. And as you can see, treatments 3 through 9 had advancing levels of lubricant that each one was multiplied by a factor of 2. We ran 2 reps on these 9 treatments and 3 samples per replication. Now, based on some things that we saw from the original test, we decided to run a second test, which we just ran about a month ago. And this one, we ran 11 treatments. We had the same original nine. And then the last two, we're multiplying the lubricant rates by 2 and 4. So we just added 2 treatments to the test. This time we ran 3 replications of each treatment and 5 samples per replication. So, and the reason that we did this, ran 3 reps and 5 samples, was that we thought we were seeing some things in the earlier data, but there's a lot of error, and we're trying to get enough data that we can make some sense of these data with that much error in them. So looking at some of the results, here are some results from test one. Actually, these are just sort of some preliminary indications of what we got, but you can see the run order was randomized in each set of 9. The actual solution application rate was supposed to be constant, but we were running at what we thought to be a constant pressure, and you see that there was some variation in the actual solution application rate, but it was fairly consistent from, you know, on the order of 1.4 to 1.7 or 8 gallons per hour. Fairly low, but of course this is a small gen. I think we're running it a little over 0.8 bales per hour. And the moisture content came out right around 4% in each treatment. Okay, so now when we look at the actual solution application rate and calculate the actual lubricant application rate based on the concentration, you can see there that there on the far left column, that there was some variation in actual lubrication from one treatment to the next. But for example, pairing these up, one treatment was 19.3 milligrams of lubricant per kilogram of fiber, and the matching treatment was 15.2, so pretty close. Then 30.7 and 32.2, 63.1, 64.1, so on and so forth. So they're pretty close. Now you've got the data on pre-lint cleaner, NEPS, and short fiber content. And you can see it's pretty consistent on the order of 170 to 195 NEPS per gram pre-lint cleaner. Post-lint cleaner, a couple of columns over, you've got roughly 220 to 250, somewhere in that range. Short fiber content pre-lint cleaner ran from slightly under 10% to slightly under 20%. And post-lint cleaner ran from, I think, about 12 or 13 up to 20, a little over 20. Okay, so what we're doing here is taking these treatments and subtracting the post-lint cleaner data from the pre-lint cleaner data. And you see that in every case with NEPs, the NEP count was higher on the post end, so we're getting a negative number when we subtract them. And those varied in, you know, right in the 50 to 60 range. NEPs per gram, short fiber content, varied from anywhere from a positive change in short fiber content to a negative change in short fiber content. Well, how does this all play out when we graph it? This is NEPs per gram difference from pre-lint cleaner to post-lint cleaner. That's on the y-axis. Your x-axis is actual lubricant application rate, and it's run in log base 2, okay, because that was the way that we were changing the application rate. And you'll note here that it says R-squared 0.19. This is a significant relationship. I can get a R-squared of 0.5 something if I let the x-axis be linear. But what you end up with is some points that are way on one end, and so their effect on that R-squared is very high. So this is a more realistic look at the correlation. The R-squared is fairly low, but it is significant. And what it tells us is that as we add level of lubricant, we're getting a reduction in NEPs, okay? Now, this is a similar graph looking at short fiber content. And in this case, we're getting a slightly downward slope. But here you'll notice that the R-squared value is 0.05. This is a non-significant trend statistically. And so those are basically the results. At this point from test one, we're looking at a significantly positive trend in NEPs improving with lubricant addition, and basically a negligible effect with short fiber content. All right, the results from test two. I mentioned that we ran this test about a month ago. We have not been able to get all of our APHIS data collected at this point. The data that we got were the post-lint cleaner data, We don't have the pre-lint cleaner data, so we weren't able to do the subtraction and look at what happened from one side of the lint cleaner to the other. However, looking at these post-lint cleaner data, one thing that kind of stood out was that one of these treatments in which the lubricant concentration was 0.16 pounds of lubricant per gallon of solution, we had a pretty significantly lower value of NEPS. Now, I don't know what to make of this. This may be real, it may not be real. We did randomize the order of these treatments, which kind of makes me think maybe there's something there, but I really don't know. But I just throw it out there for your viewing pleasure. The next slide is the same type of thing with short fiber content. And again, the same treatment showed up lower in short fiber content. I don't know why. I would think that if we saw an effect at 0.16, that we'd see more of an effect at 0.32 and then more a greater effect at 0.64 and so forth. And that may be what ultimately comes out of this once we get pre-lint cleaner and post-lint cleaner data. But I just thought it was interesting this one treatment seemed to be lower in NEPS and lower in short fiber content. So in summary, we did two tests, one in June, one in December. We sprayed water-based lubricant solution onto the lint between the gent stand and the lint cleaner. We did 9 treatments in test 1, 11 treatments in test 2. Collected samples before and after the lint cleaner and measured fiber quality data. And the conclusions in test 1, we found a significant trend towards reduction in NEP count with increasing lubricant application rate. Again, the key here, and I started this because I want to make this the main point that you take away, it appears with this small level of data that we've got, it appears that reducing friction actually does have a positive effect in terms of reducing NEPs. The effect on short fiber content in that test was negligible. In test 2, apparently, based on post-lint cleaner data alone, a particular application rate around 500 to 600 milligrams of lubricant per kilogram of fiber gave the lowest value of NEPs and short fiber content. But we're going to be collecting the pre-lint cleaner data here soon, and we'll compare those with post-lint cleaner data to shed light on cross-lint cleaner effects on NEPs and short fiber content and how this is altered by addition of lubricant. But again, take-home message up there where the star is, significant trend towards reducing NEPs with lowering friction. And I just found this on the internet. This was kind of a cool picture that somebody did with an infrared camera looking across a cotton field at some trees, and I just thought it was slick, so I threw it up there. And I'll be happy to answer a question or two if you have one.
I found it interesting where you found the optimal amount right after that. You actually had a fairly significant increase before it dropped off again as you increase the amounts, which I just found was, yeah.
You're talking about this graph here.
Right.
Yeah, Harrison, I mean, honestly, the majority of my intuition tells me that this is an anomaly. But it happened for both NEPs and short fiber content, and we did randomize these, the running order of the treatment runs, and so it's possible it's real, but I'm not putting any stock in it at this point. I just think it's worth showing.
Just the right amount.
Yeah, you never know. Derek?
That's an average value.
I did not. We just got these data back in the last 2 weeks, and I've not had a chance to do that.
Could you spread as enough?
Yeah. I think, based on looking at the data points, that this would show up as being significantly different. But, you know, again, that's numbers, and whether it's real or not, I don't know. Paul, did you? Sorry, Charlie? Okay, Charlie?
Did you use high vol on all of it?
Yes, that was all we used. We just mixed it at different rates in the water.
If this information is correct and everything, the quicker you get this out, the better off. This is important. You know, we've been bamboozled with this damn short fiber content from all over the world.
Well, thank you. I've actually this year, I was just talking to Tommy about this earlier, I actually did get my paper finished before I presented, and I'm going to have this uploaded, so it'll be in the proceedings coming out on CD or DVD, whatever that is. John?
You mentioned earlier that this was more looking at the fence friction.
Right.
Do you have any idea how you might go forward in terms of reducing that friction force?
Yeah, this is a conversation I had with Eric primarily, Eric Heke. And, you know, one option conceivably is changing machine surfaces. Whether that's practical or not, I don't know, but it's a thought. What Eric mentioned to me was that there are different varieties of cotton, namely, I think, the colored varieties of cotton that have a very different lubricity level. They're much lower. They have more of a waxy surface. He said, you know, it's conceivable that a breeder could take some of those genes and mix that in where you get higher lubricity in the cotton. That's a thought too. That's something that's, of course, nothing I'll be working on directly, but I might work with someone else on.
And just make me think of one gene. I don't know how common this is, but maybe there's something in this genre I saw that had chrome plated grid bars.
Wow.
Just saw that. I don't know how to think about it. But he swore it helped us safely.
Well, I don't see any more hands raised, so thank you very much for your attention.